Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the very beginning of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, it was said to the disciples that they should not leave Jerusalem. The Lord specifically charged them with that, saying, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Very interesting, right? That now, after this, Jesus having appeared to them two times, they are found at the Sea of Tiberias, that is near Galilee. Do you know how many miles away from Jerusalem that is? Only 73. About 3 days' journey if you walk 10 hours a day. Don't leave Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, for then you will proclaim, right, the glories of God. We're just going to take a little journey, 73 miles away from Jerusalem, and there we're going to do exactly what God has not instructed us to do, which is go back to our previous profession. Go back to the boat that I owned, that I left everything to follow Jesus, right? That's what the disciples said. That's what Peter said. He said, "Lord, look at us. We have left everything to follow you." But even after Jesus has appeared to them two times, Peter takes all of those disciples, because they're following him, and they go back to the very thing that they told Jesus they had left in order to follow him. And going back fishing that night, the Lord shows them just how abundant their life is going to be when they go about doing things their way, when they go about following their own word and not the word of the Lord. Every morning they will rise and they will come up empty-handed. It was the story of their life. Unless God gives the success, there is no success. But here the Lord gives them a great moment of assurance. When they listen to his voice, when they follow his word, the Lord will give to them what they need. He will already have found a way to provide for them. This is a blessed word of assurance that Jesus will feed and will care for his disciples himself. For when they heard that this man that they can't even recognize from the shore says to throw your net on the right side of the boat, what reason do they have to listen to him? They don't even know who it is. But doesn't this remind you of another time, right? At the very call of the disciples in Luke chapter 5, where they go out and they have caught nothing all night, and they throw the net over on the other side of the boat, and what do they find? A miraculous catch of fish at the worst time to fish, in the morning's heat. But again, it happens that Jesus does this, that he might show them by way of miracle, if the resurrection from the dead wasn't enough, that he is truly the Lord. And that he is real. He's not their hallucination. It's not a figment of their imagination. It is nothing but the reality that God the Father has raised the Son from the dead and has given him authority over all things. And after they do that, Peter, being so filled again with this wonderful vigor as Peter typically has when he realizes where he should be, which is next to the Lord, jumps out of the boat, throws himself in, and swims to shore to get there as fast as is humanly possible. And when he comes to shore, he does not find that Jesus has any need of anything that he has done. But Jesus has already prepared for them the meal. This is important. Because in our lives, this is exactly our problem. We think We think that it is according to our work, our strength, that we are going to be provided for. But the reality is, God is the one who cares for us himself. He does not leave it even to our own strength, but he has already prepared what we might eat, what we might wear, where we might live. He has done all of these things for us. And here is a beautiful picture of that, that as these, his disciples, now going to be apostles, that is the ones who are sent out to proclaim the word, the Lord has already made a way for them to be cared for. They just don't know it yet. Just as they did not recognize him on the shore and did not know that he already had bread and fish prepared for them. But this is so that they might have assurance and confidence as his chosen servants to not fear, but again, trust in the Lord above all things. Do his will, do his work according to his word, and all bodily and temporal cares, whatever they may be your concern, I will provide for all of your needs. I will provide. I will take care. And it is always in my hand. You know where we typically go to hear about this again in our own lives? We go to Romans chapter 8. Because what is this great comparison that we have? Our temporal needs, all things that we consider to be our utmost importance when we wake up in the morning, we think, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Are our bills paid for? And all of these things, right? That's like almost the first thing on our minds. Am I healthy? Do I need to take my pills, my medicine, whatever it may be? But here in Romans chapter 8, we find these words. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him, that is with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Where is our actual worry? Where is our fear? Where is our need to return to what we once were? That is, Gentile unbelievers are going back to those things which we left in order to follow Christ. Why would we do that? If we truly are these Christians that glory in the resurrection of Christ, then we are the ones who have faith in this. God did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all. For the greatest of our gifts, the greatest of our needs, right? Our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, which we do not gloss over. But then, how is it that if God did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how would we not believe that God will also with Christ in this gift of our salvation, not also then give us all of our needs, have them already prepared, even as we are ways away from the shore? That's what you find again in this text today. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Leave what you have left behind. Do not look back to it and think that it is somehow more glorious for you to return back to what you have left in order to follow Christ. For to follow Christ is the greater thing. To follow Christ is the place where you will find your full assurance. Because if God did not spare his only son, but gave him up, he will also provide for all these other needs that you have of body and soul. Only trust in God and find your full assurance, not in your own strength, because you can labor throughout all of the night, as the disciples did, and come up in the morning empty-handed. But commit your ways to the Lord. Follow his word and his will. And you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing even to be concerned about because all of your hope is placed not in your own abilities or in your own strength. Your hope and your assurance is placed in what Jesus has already promised to do for you. What he, in fact, has already prepared. And you heard me preach on that last week. That whenever you have a plan, God has already been working his plan. Wherever you have already began to work, God has already accomplished his work. And so, as much as you think you may be working ahead, God is far more ahead than you are. So our assurance and our confidence remains in God. And it is to him that we look for all of our needs. So dare not ask, who is this or how can it be done? For we know already that God accomplishes his work through his word. That even as great as it may be, a miracle can be done. And God is not too great to work even miracles among us this day. So turn our hope and our confidence not in ourselves, but to the Lord who has risen from the dead and who now lives and reigns to all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.